You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
And we're going to help you keep it running, at least the great help you get from ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful, but maybe a little snowy. Well, it's probably melted now. Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
How was your week?
Week was good. I had the chance to use my snowplow for the second time this year, and we might have a third time coming here the rest of the weekend here.
Yeah, it looks like it. And again, we don't know how much moisture content there will be. It seems like it might be kind of heavy wet snow. And those folks that spent all the good money heading to Lloyd's and had your guys put the snow tires on, they'll have a good use of them, although it's going to be kind of sloppy. Probably besides any traffic issues, driving issues, is make sure you're filled with windshield washer fluid, right? I just thought about that.
Yeah, we haven't needed that much this winter, and
no.
You will likely need it here over the next few days.
And if you would like a little advice, if you have problems with your car, your truck, your van, and you want an ASC-certified technician to give you kind of an analysis over the radio this morning, by all means, let's hear from you. You can call in your question. You don't have to be any kind of a motorhead or carhead, motorhead or engine, you know, whatever. I mean, we have mechanics that do listen to the show, but you don't have to be. Our listeners, male and female, and we get a pretty much 50% audience who call in with their questions. And there's one that a question that came in earlier this morning, I think, is a good one. But again, let me give you the phone number. It's also the text number. But don't wait. Nick will be with us for about another 30 minutes. Our time goes by rather quickly when Nick takes his leave, when Jack Farrell comes in at 7:45. So don't wait. Call us, text us, any kind of a car care question. We'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Again, something that came in earlier this morning, and just to make it more succinctly, they wanted to say, how can I talk to a mechanic about my vehicle's problems without sounding stupid? And I think that's a feeling that many of us have who don't, you know, we don't know how to repair cars from the most part, right? And it can be kind of intimidating.
Absolutely. Nor do you need to know how to fix a car. I would say the best thing you do is just be honest, share what you can. I feel from our side of the conversation, it always feels like people are holding information back because they're afraid it's going to cost. And I think that's just the opposite. I think if you can share as much information, especially on an intermittent problem, if you can, you know, I always say take a notepad, make a journal. If there's a problem that you're having, it's intermittent, any details you can give us to help duplicate that saves time, which ultimately will save you money. So don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. Tell the truth. Come in and say, you know, here's what I'm hearing. Here's what's happening. You know, here's a situation, certain type of temperatures or drive cycles, any of that can be really important in having this kind of narrow it down to where we're headed.
Yeah, it's the car owner, the person that's coming in to get some help, that they're the one that has the information. And you as a technician, you want as much as they can say, tell you. And I think another important thing, and I think it's changed over the years, maybe there was that whole intimidation, and especially as far as women coming into to shops or dealers, the service area, feeling intimidated. However, you, I know, after being visiting Lloyd's for 100 years, you and Dan have surrounded yourself with some pretty nice people. Nick and Jimmy and all the gang there are, you know, they're the nicest people in the world, in my opinion.
You know, as they say, you're only as good as your people, and you're 100% right. You know, we've all been there a really long time, and, you know, we're kind of our working family. You know, the truth is you end up spending more awake hours oftentimes with your coworkers than you do with your families
at
times.
True.
But, you know, we have a great group. You know, like you said, we've all been there you know, probably the, you know, especially in the office there, you know, Sud's Big Nick is putting on almost 20 years. Jim's got to be at 15 years. I started working for Dan at Lloyd's in 1998. So it's been a fun journey. And 10 years, I started working for Dan at Lloyd's in 1998. So it's been a fun journey. And we're not the only ones. You know, there's a lot of places in your own neighborhood, your own town that have the same history and the same loyalty, and they're good people. I think our industry's made great strides in recent years with, you know, the cleanliness, treating people with respect. You know, I think that mechanics oftentimes are really good motorheads or, you know, car guys.
Yeah.
But maybe they're not the best communicators. So you might feel like they're speaking down to you, but they might not have that skill set to be able to communicate or articulate what they need from you. So it's kind of a back and forth a bit. But I think if we all go with the right attitude, we can get to the bottom of almost anything.
No, I think that's a good point, valid point. A good question, too. So thanks to our listener for sending that along. Tell you what, Nick, grab a phone call this morning. Clem, I believe, calling in from Red Wing. Clem, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning, fellas. I listen to your show almost every Saturday and enjoy it.
Thank you.
Nick, I have a 2004 Lincoln LS. They had 5-speed automatics in that day. And the shifting is from park to reverse is just rams into gear, and then through the gears, it's just a hard harsh shift from second to third to fourth, and so on. And I do have an 03 model just like that with that same transmission, and it seems to be fine. So I don't know if it's valve body or if it's computer related, telling it when to shift. I'll listen. But I was just wondering if I would drive up there. Do you folks are you able to diagnose it, or do you need an appointment first before I drive from Red Wing? I will listen. Thank you.
Okay, Clem.
Well, it's a good question, and you definitely don't have to drive from Red Wing. You know, there's, like I said before, there's a lot of places in your own community and town. Talk to your neighbors, your friends, get a referral. But the way our schedule is, you do need an appointment when we have any kind of diagnostic for sure. You know, we're a few days behind, you know, in the heat of the summer, we can be a couple weeks behind. So just like us, all of your other shops around town, make sure you have an appointment, because those folks can get a little bottled up, and if your car's in a despair and you can't have it, that could be a problem. So, and as far as your question, you know, I kind of agree with the theme with the valve body. I don't think it's necessarily like a solenoid or something, because it's affecting all shifts. So I'm thinking maybe something with line pressure or something's bleeding down. I think what we would do, obviously, the first thing is check the fluid, the condition, the level, the history on it. We'd hook up a scan tool, see if there's any data about what the shifting. Maybe we do have a solenoid that's sticking a little bit. So I think it's repairable. It might take a little time and investment into figuring out what and why. But I don't think it's done for by any means.
All right. Nick, we'll take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car care question you may have. We'll jump to our text messages that have come in the past couple of minutes or so. We'll do that when we come back. 19 degrees. That's our current Twin City temperature reading. Anywhere by the time Sunday through Monday is over, we could get anywhere up to about 9 or 10 inches of snow, possibly, here in the Twin Cities. High today, by the way, about 34 degrees. Right now, 19 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We're here every Saturday at the 7 o'clock hour. Nick Stoffel, who happens to be an ASC certified technician and runs a place on Grand Avenue called Lloyd's Automotive. Nick, we get a lot of callers and texters, and just like that previous caller, you get a lot of folks from outside the Twin Cities. But for those in or out, how do we find you guys at Lloyd's if we need the help?
Absolutely. You're right. We do have a pretty unique following. We have folks that come from all around. And, you know, we appreciate it. We really do. And you don't have to, but we do appreciate it. If you are in our neighborhood, we're at 982 Grand Avenue, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. If you ever have a question, need advice, or just want a little a sounding board, give us a call, 651-228-1316. And as always, I'd appreciate if you check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
And we'll get you that info when Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 or so this morning. We have callers. We have texters. Let's grab a phone call this morning. I think Gary is checking in from St. Louis Park. Hi, Gary. What is your question, please?
Hi. Good morning, Danny. Good morning, Nick. Nick, I've got more of an informational question than a technical question. I'm wondering when and why did they stop measuring engines in cubic inches and start using liters?
You know, that's a great question, and it's, you know, it's a curious one. 61 cubic inches is a liter, so you can do the math. But I think it's because yesterday's we all wanted a 454 or 327, but now, you know, if you say my car is a 90 cubic inch engine, people aren't very impressed. So my only guess would be that it's just part of the marketing ploy, and that's my best answer for you.
Someone told me a few years ago at a lawnmower, a small engine repair place, because I have a couple of old lawnmowers, and one rates it in horsepower, and the other is cubic inches or whatever. And they said, she told me something like, well, legally they can't say that anymore. And I'm not sure quite why. I can't remember why she said that, but evidently there was some change, some law made. Maybe because of some technicality, who knows? Boy, we've got a bunch of texts, Nick. Let's see if I can't thin this one down. It's a multi-paragraph here. Texter is looking for a vehicle, a used vehicle, and they're looking maybe from a 2008, 2012. They look at the price and thinking they're getting a good deal for $1,800, $2,500 bucks, only to find out the timing chain has slipped, broken, the motor's shot, needs a new engine. Do I buy it is the question. If so, how much is it going to cost me either to fix it or get a new engine? And the second part of the question, how come this never happened with our vehicle years ago? I never heard of timing chains slipping and ruining the engine. And what is causing this expensive problem with these newer vehicles today? Is that true? I mean, are you seeing a lot of evidence of timing chains or timing belts breaking or slipping?
So the first question about should I buy it and fix it, no. If you have the money to fix it, you're better off buying a better vehicle, taking those two piles of money and making them one.
Yeah.
And as far as timing belts are on a maintenance interval. You know, there'll be a mileage interval somewhere, depending on the vehicle, it's somewhere in the 100,000 mile range that you replace it just because it's a belt that wear, tear, it can fail. Now, timing chains, and, you know, years ago, you know, to previous caller, you know, 454, 327, the timing chain just turned the crank and the camshafts, you know, maybe the oil pump, but for the most part, it was just the mechanics of the engine. Well, now we have variable valve timing. We have a lot more of these features added to the engine to make it more efficient, better emissions, better gas mileage. And we're using oil to do that. And those tolerances can be very tight and very small. So sometimes if we're not good on our maintenance, which we always preach, and we slip on our oil changes, you can get some buildup, some carbon, some sludge, you know, and the oil doesn't flow as well as it used to. It can also kind of start to coat onto the timing components, which doesn't allow them to cool down like they're supposed to. So over, you know, 10, 12 years, 100,000 miles, we see these things start to fail. So the most important thing you can do for your vehicle is change your oil. Use a good quality oil for sure. Don't look for the cheapest, least expensive option because that engine will be thousands of dollars to repair or replace. And an oil change is, you know, $50 or $100. And you can get a lot of oil changes for the price of an engine. So
they have changed,
but it's not, if you maintain them, they should work as designed.
Absolutely. Texter says this, Nick, on a front wheel drive car, does it hurt the transmission by rocking it to get it out of the snowbank?
Yes and no. The yes part would be if you're the type of person that thinks the faster the tires are spinning, the more likely you are to move. That can be very hard on a transmission. It's not designed to spin like that. at a rapid rate and then a rapid stop and back and forth. So that's hard on it. But if you have a nice, steady, rhythmic motion to it, which we've all, you know, if you're old enough, you used to get stuck with a rear-wheel drive vehicle and you'd rock the vehicle and get it moving. And there might be some of that tomorrow or Monday. But if you're easy on it, I think that is part of the way of getting yourself unstuck. But if you're very aggressive and thinking faster or more is better, definitely not.
Yeah. Interesting question before we take a look at the weather. Do you ever get cars that have unexpected acceleration?
No. I mean, cars are designed, for the most part, for safety. You know, there's a lot of times, like, the throttle sensors are two sensors. There's two readings that they can compare. So there's not, like, one sensor that can, you know, get the vehicle off the rails. You know, there's times where people's floor mats might get caught, or there might be times that the throttle body might be a little dirty, causing it to idle a little bit higher or sticky a little bit. But a sudden acceleration is very rare. And I think for the most part that the features and design of the vehicle prevent that.
All right. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a quick look at that snowy forecast, see what we're up against, and we'll be taking more calls or text messages. Any kind of a car care question you may have, call us, text us, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Or give us a call right now, 651-461-9226, or if it's easier, send your car care question via text. Same number, 651-461-9226. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive answering those questions this morning till Jack Farrell time, which is about 8 or 10 minutes or so from now. All right, here's a text, Nick. I have a check engine light that is on more than it is off, but two times I brought it in, the light was off, and they told me at the shop there was nothing they could do with the light out. Is that true?
I would think, you know, depending on make and model and such, there should be some stored information there. You know, maybe a history code, maybe some freeze frame data, which is the information the car stores at the moment that the code was set. So I would hope to be something there to kind of at least make a note of and see how things go. But if the light's on more than off, you know, I would probably make another appointment and hopefully it all lines up right for you. But I would say if the light's on more than it's off, you should probably have that looked at again and get a little more information or try someone else, because there's something that the car doesn't like more often. So I would not ignore that.
In some cases, you recommend to your customer that maybe if this is an issue, they should leave it overnight.
Very true. If it's something that likely to happen within a day or two, you know, back to the earlier, you know, what do I do when I don't want to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about? Well, this is one of those situations where you can say, this is really intermittent. It's very frustrating for me. I happen to have a open in my schedule where I can leave it for a day or two, schedule that plan, that have that conversation, and then therefore the shop can take that, you know, take that approach and say, we need to try it a couple times today and tomorrow, and likely it's going to happen for us. So I would get on the schedule and see what we can figure out.
Good point. Tester says, Chrysler Sebring has been sitting several months in the garage. And now the battery is dead. What's the best way to charge it, fast charge or trickle charge question?
I would definitely start with a low charge, and if I had a voltmeter, I'd make sure that the battery didn't freeze. I know we had a fairly mild winter, but we don't want to risk a frozen battery because that won't charge and can cause other problems. So I would slow charge it for a while, check the voltage. If it's in that mid-12 range, you know, with a charger in the 13s, but if it's getting over 15 volts, that's a bad sign. You need to stop. So
here's a question I thought about, and I think my own car does this too. Although I'm driving at the time, so I can't tell. Thanks for a great show. Thank you. I've noticed, Texter says, on newer cars, that when the front blinker is used, the corresponding headlight turns off. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I've noticed that also, or sometimes the turn signals in the rear with these LED lighting kind of sweep to the right or sweep to the left. So it's a neat feature. I think it's probably just that. It's a neat feature they're using as a marketing way to get people to pay attention to the vehicles or draw attention to them so they'll want that. But I don't know what the advantage of it is, I guess, but I have noticed that myself.
I wonder if it's too, especially if the oncoming car that is signaling is at an angle. Sometimes those lights, headlights, can be pretty bright, and they might even, you know, kind of camouflage that signal. So my guess is they want to make sure the signal is seen. But that's just my guess. Let's see. Here's a 2010 Subaru 2.5 non-turbo. Puff of smoke comes out of the exhaust when starting, goes away after that. 210,000 miles on it. What's your comment about that, Nick?
Just keep an eye on the fluid levels. It depends what the puff of smoke is. Is it a little bit of coolant? Is it a little bit of oil? But I would check fluid levels. If you start to have a drivability concern, a rough running associated with that, I would probably take it in to get it looked at. But if the fluids are full and it's just one puff, I guess at that mileage, I probably wouldn't be too worried.
Okay. There's a windshield question. Texter says, I have a crack along the bottom of my windshield, about 4 inches up and straight across. The crack does not affect the vision, but do you think I need to replace it?
I would plan on it because it's going to grow. You know, those cracks in the windshield with temperatures, flexing of the vehicle as you go down the road will cause that crack to spread across the windshield, and then it can impede what you're seeing. So I would plan to have that scheduled, to have it replaced.
There's a body protection question that we've never had before. Even though, Texter says, I park my car far out to avoid the dings from people opening their car doors, still happens. What can a person do to protect their car from rusting due to the small chips of paint that are nicked out? The dings are already there. Can I do anything at home, or does it need a professional job?
You know, those dings, you can go to a body shop, a paint store, dealership, and buy a touch-up, which is kind of like a nail polish type thing. So it's not the same smooth finish, but it does cover that little ding as you described. But washing your vehicle, you know, not on the coldest days of the winter, but on a regular basis, especially through the winter when we have salt on the roads, is a good idea. So if you can get through the wash once a week or every 2 weeks and pay the extra dollar or two to have the undercarriage spray, I think really makes a difference. We see it, you know. But we lift cars every day, you see the bottoms of them, and you can tell where people kind of maintain their cars or keep them a little better shape, that the underbodies seem to be a little bit cleaner also. So I would advise you every couple weeks, pay the extra dollar or two for the underspray, but I think that makes a difference over the long haul.
Yeah, it really does. See if we have time for maybe one more, maybe two, we'll see. Here's a text that says, my Chrysler 200 trunk won't open. The fob button and the dash button won't work either. Any suggestions?
That's difficult. I would think that there would still be a key port. Not all, but most vehicles still have a spot where you can, it might be hidden a little bit, where you can still put the key to unlock it. Sometimes you can fold the seat down to gain access that way. It might take a little more investigating.
Okay. One more. 2007 Range Rover that is leaking a small amount of coolant. Seems to be leaking near the rear of the engine, not by the radiator or reservoir. Any ideas?
You know, the couple things. There could be an intake manifold which runs across the top of the motor that could be leaking down the back. There are oak plugs, core plugs on the back of the head, possibly, or back of the block that could also cause that problem. It's an active leak. It should get at least assessed. You can figure out what it is, what the cost of the repair, then make the decision on that based on what it would cost.
Oh, let's do one more. There's a Mitsubishi Mirage 2023. Is it true and a good idea when you have a CVT transmission and backing up out of a parking spot in reverse that you should come to a complete stop before putting it into drive instead of putting it into the drive while the car is still rolling?
You should do that with every transmission. You should always come to a complete stop before you go from, you know, I might have done something different when I was 16, but I would not advise that any longer.
Very good. Nick, we have to run. I know we'll get back next week with another show. But in the meantime, for folks that need help from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes. So if you ever have a question, need advice, you can always reach us at 651-228-1316. And as you know very well, Danny, we're at the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand. And as always, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll do that very thing. Nick, thank you. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Danny.
Next off from Lloyd's Automotive, Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. Straight ahead, then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Julie in the 8 o'clock hour. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
And we're going to help you keep it running, at least the great help you get from ASE's certified technician, Nick Stoffel, from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful, but maybe a little snowy. Well, it's probably melted now. Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
How was your week?
Week was good. I had the chance to use my snowplow for the second time this year, and we might have a third time coming here the rest of the weekend here.
Yeah, it looks like it. And again, we don't know how much moisture content there will be. It seems like it might be kind of heavy wet snow. And those folks that spent all the good money heading to Lloyd's and had your guys put the snow tires on, they'll have a good use of them, although it's going to be kind of sloppy. Probably besides any traffic issues, driving issues, is make sure you're filled with windshield washer fluid, right? I just thought about that.
Yeah, we haven't needed that much this winter, and
no.
You will likely need it here over the next few days.
And if you would like a little advice, if you have problems with your car, your truck, your van, and you want an ASE-certified technician to give you kind of an analysis over the radio this morning, by all means, let's hear from you. You can call in your question. You don't have to be any kind of a motorhead or carhead, motorhead or engine, you know, whatever. I mean, we have mechanics that do listen to the show, but you don't have to be. Our listeners, male and female, and we get a pretty much 50% audience who call in with their questions. And there's one that a question that came in earlier this morning, I think, is a good one. But again, let me give you the phone number. It's also the text number. But don't wait. Nick will be with us for about another 30 minutes. Our time goes by rather quickly when Nick takes his leave, when Jack Farrell comes in at 7:45. So don't wait. Call us, text us, any kind of a car care question. We'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Again, something that came in earlier this morning, and just to make it more succinctly, they wanted to say, how can I talk to a mechanic about my vehicle's problems without sounding stupid? And I think that's a feeling that many of us have who don't, you know, we don't know how to repair cars from the most part, right? And it can be kind of intimidating.
Absolutely. Nor do you need to know how to fix a car. I would say the best thing you do is just be honest, share what you can. I feel from our side of the conversation, it always feels like people are holding information back because they're afraid it's going to cost. And I think that's just the opposite. I think if you can share as much information, especially on an intermittent problem, if you can, you know, I always say take a notepad, make a journal. If there's a problem that you're having, it's intermittent, any details you can give us to help duplicate that saves time, which ultimately will save you money. So don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. Tell the truth. Come in and say, you know, here's what I'm hearing. Here's what's happening. you know, here's a situation, certain type of temperatures or drive cycles, any of that can be really important in having this kind of narrow it down to where we're headed.
Yeah, it's the car owner or the person that's coming in to get some help that they're the one that has the information. And you as a technician, you want as much as they can say, tell you. And I think another important thing, and I think it's changed over the years. Maybe there was that whole intimidation, and especially as far as women coming into to shops or dealers, the service area, feeling intimidated. However, you, I know, after being visiting Lloyd's for 100 years, you and Dan have surrounded yourself with some pretty nice people. Nick and Jimmy and all the gang there are, you know, they're the nicest people in the world, in my opinion.
You know, as they say, you're only as good as your people, and you're 100% right. You know, we've all been there a really long time, and, you know, we're kind of our working family. You know, the truth is you end up spending more awake hours oftentimes with your coworkers than you do with your families at times.
True.
But, you know, we have a great group. You know, like you said, we've all been there, you know, probably the, you know, especially in the office there, you know, Suds, Big Nick is putting on almost 20 years. Jim's got to be at 15 years. I started working for Dan at Lloyd's in 1998. So it's been a fun journey. And we're 15 years. I started working for Dan at Lloyd's in 1998. So it's been a fun journey, and we're not the only ones. You know, there's a lot of places in your own neighborhood, your own town, that have the same history and the same loyalty, and they're good people. I think our industry's made great strides in recent years with, you know, the cleanliness, treating people with respect. You know, I think that mechanics oftentimes are really good motorheads or, you know, car guys, but maybe they're not the best communicators. So you might feel like they're speaking down to you, but they might not have that skill set to be able to communicate or articulate what they need from you. So it's kind of a back and forth a bit, but I think if we all go with the right attitude, we can get to the bottom of almost anything.
No, I think there's a good point, valid point. Good question, too. So thanks to our listener for sending that along. Tell you what, Nick, grab a phone call this morning. Clem, I believe, calling in from Red Wing. Clem, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning, fellas. I listen to your show almost every Saturday and enjoy it. Nick, I have a 2004 Lincoln LS. They had 5-speed automatics in that day, and the shifting is from park to reverse is just rams into gear, and then through the gears, it's just a harsh shift from second to third, third to fourth, and so on. And I do have an 03 model just like that with that same transmission, and it seems to be fine. So I don't know if it's valve body or if it's computer related, telling it when to shift. I'll listen, but I was just wondering if I would drive up there. Do you folks are you able to diagnose it, or do you need an appointment first before I drive from Red Wing? I will listen. Thank you.
Okay, Clem.
That's a good question, and you definitely don't have to drive from Red Wing. You know, there's, like I said before, there's a lot of places in your own community and town. Talk to your neighbors, your friends, get a referral. But the way our schedule is, you do need an appointment when we have any kind of diagnostic for sure. You know, we're a few days behind, you know, in the heat of the summer, we can be a couple weeks behind. So just like us, all of your other shops around town, make sure you have an appointment, because those folks can get a little bottled up. And if your car's in a despair and you can't have it, that could be a problem. So, and as far as your question, you know, I kind of agree with the theme with the valve body. I don't think it's necessarily like a solenoid or something, because it's affecting all shifts. So I'm thinking maybe something with line pressure or something's bleeding down. I think what we would do, obviously, the first thing is check the fluid, the condition, the level, the history on it. We'd hook up a scan tool, see if there's any data about what the shifting. Maybe we do have a solenoid that's sticking a little bit. So I think it's repairable. It might take a little time and investment into figuring out what and why, but I don't think it's done for by any means.
All right. Nick, we'll take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car care question you may have. We'll jump to our text messages that have come in the past couple of minutes or so. We'll do that when we come back. 19 degrees. That's our current Twin City temperature reading. Anywhere by the time Sunday through Monday is over, we could get anywhere up to about 9 or 10 inches of snow, possibly here in the Twin Cities. High today, by the way, about 34 degrees. Right now, 19 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We're here every Saturday at the 7 o'clock hour. Nick Stoffel, who happens to be an ASC certified technician and runs a place on Grand Avenue called Lloyd's Automotive. Nick, we get a lot of callers and texters, and just like that previous caller, you get a lot of folks from outside the Twin Cities. But for those in or out, how do we find you guys at Lloyd's if we need the help?
Absolutely. You're right. We do have a pretty unique following. We have folks that come from all around, and, you know, we appreciate it. We really do. And you don't have to, but we do appreciate it. If you are in our neighborhood, we're at 982 Grand Avenue, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. If you ever have a question, need advice, or just want a little a sounding board, give us a call, 651-228-1316. And as always, I'd appreciate it if you check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
And we'll get you that info when Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 or so this morning. We have callers. We have texters. Let's grab a phone call this morning. I think Gary is checking in from St. Louis Park. Hi, Gary. What is your question, please?
Hi. Good morning, Danny. Good morning, Nick. Nick, I've got more of an informational question than a technical question. I'm wondering when and why did they stop measuring engines in cubic inches and start using liters?
You know, that's a great question, and it's, you know, it's a curious one. 61 cubic inches is a liter, so you can do the math. But I think it's because yesterday's we all wanted a 454 or 327, but now, you know, if you say my car is a 90 cubic inch engine, people aren't very impressed. So my only guess would be that it's just part of the marketing ploy, and that's my best answer for you.
Someone told me a few years ago at a lawnmower, a small engine repair place, because I have a couple of old lawnmowers, and one rates it in horsepower, and the other is cubic inches or whatever. And they said, she told me something like, well, legally they can't say that anymore. And I'm not sure quite why. I can't remember why she said that, but evidently there was some change, some law made. Maybe because of some technicality, who knows. Boy, we've got a bunch of texts, Nick. Let's see if I can't thin this one down. It's a multi-paragraph here. Texter is looking for a vehicle, a used vehicle, and they're looking maybe from a 2008-2012. They look at the price and thinking they're getting a good deal for $1,800 to $2,500, only to find out the timing chain has slipped, broken, the motor's shot, needs a new engine. Do I buy it is the question. If so, how much is it going to cost me either to fix it or get a new engine? And the second part of the question, how come this never happened with our vehicle years ago? I never heard of timing chains slipping and ruining the engine. And what is causing this expensive problem with these newer vehicles today? Is that true? I mean, are you seeing a lot of evidence of timing chains or timing belts breaking or slipping?
So the first question about should I buy it and fix it, no. If you have the money to fix it, you're better off buying a better vehicle, taking those two piles of money and making them one.
Yeah.
And as far as timing, well, timing belts are on a maintenance interval. You know, there will be a mileage interval somewhere, depending on the vehicle, it's somewhere in the 100,000-mile range that you replace it just because it's a belt that wear, tear, it can fail. Now, timing chains. And, you know, years ago, you know, to previous caller, you know, 454, 327, the timing chain just turned the crank and the camshafts, you know, maybe the oil pump. But for the most part, it was just the mechanics of the engine. Well, now we have variable valve timing. We have a lot more of these features added to the engine to make it more efficient, better emissions, better gas mileage. And we're using oil to do that. And those tolerances can be very tight and very small. So sometimes if we're not good on our maintenance, which we always preach, and we slip on our oil changes, you can get some buildup, some carbon, some sludge, you know, and the oil doesn't flow as well as it used to. It can also kind of start to coat onto the timing components, which doesn't allow them to cool down like they're supposed to. So over, you know, 10, 12 years, 100,000 miles, we see these things start to fail. So the most important thing you can do for your vehicle is change your oil. Use a good quality oil for sure. Don't look for the cheapest, least expensive option, because that engine will be thousands of dollars to repair or replace. And an oil change is, you know, $50 or $100. And you can get a lot of oil changes for the price of an engine. So
they have changed,
but it's not, if you maintain them, they should work as designed.
Absolutely. Texter says this, Nick, on a front-wheel drive car, does it hurt the transmission by rocking it to get it out of the snowbank?
Yes and no. The yes part would be if you're the type of person that thinks the faster the tires are spinning, the more likely you are to move. That can be very hard on a transmission. It's not designed to spin like that at a rapid rate and then a rapid stop and kind of back and forth. So that's hard on it. But if you have a nice, steady, rhythmic motion to it, which we've all, you know, if you're old enough, you used to get stuck with a rear-wheel drive vehicle, and you'd rock the vehicle and get it moving, and there might be some of that tomorrow or Monday. But if you're easy on it, I think that is part of the way of getting yourself unstuck. But if you're very aggressive and thinking faster or more is better, definitely not.
Yeah. Interesting question before we take a look at the weather. Do you ever get cars that have unexpected acceleration?
No, I mean, cars are designed for the most part for safety. You know, there's a lot of times, like, the throttle sensors are two sensors. There's two readings that they can compare. So there's not like one sensor that can, you know, get the vehicle off the rails. You know, there's times where people's floor mats might get caught, or there might be times that the throttle body might be a little dirty, causing it to idle a little bit higher or sticky a little bit. But a sudden acceleration is very rare. And I think for the most part, that the features and design of the vehicle prevent that.
All right. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a quick look at that snowy forecast, see what we're up against. And we'll be taking more calls or text messages. Any kind of a car care question you may have, call us, text us, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Or give us a call right now, 651-461-9226, or if it's easier, send your car care question via text. Same number, 651-461-9226. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive answering those questions this morning till Jack Farrell time, which is about 8 or 10 minutes or so from now. All right, here's a text, Nick. I have a check engine light that is on more than it is off, but two times I brought it in, the light was off, and they told me at the shop there was nothing they could do with the light out. Is that true?
I would think, you know, depending on make and model and such, there should be some stored information there. You know, maybe a history code, maybe some freeze frame data, which is the information the car stores at the moment that the code was set. So I would hope to be something there to kind of at least make a note of and see how things go. But if the light's on more than off, you know, I would probably make another appointment and hopefully it all lines up right for you. But I would say if the light's on more than it's off, you should probably have that looked at again and get a little more information or try someone else, because there's something that the car doesn't like more often. So I would not ignore that.
In some cases, you recommend to your customer that maybe if this is an issue, they should leave it overnight.
Very true. If it's something that likely to happen within a day or two, you know, back to the earlier, you know, what do I do when I don't want to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about? Well, this is one of those situations where you can say, this is really intermittent. It's very frustrating for me. I happen to have a open in my schedule where I can leave it for a day or two, schedule that plan, that have that conversation, and then therefore the shop can take that, you know, take that approach and say, we need to drive it a couple times today and tomorrow, and likely it's going to happen for us. So I would get on the schedule and see what we can figure out.
Good point. Tester says Chrysler Sebring has been sitting several months in the garage. Now the battery is dead. What's the best way to charge it? Fast charge or trickle charge question.
I would definitely start with a low charge, and if I had a voltmeter, I'd make sure that the battery didn't freeze. I know we had a fairly mild winter, but we don't want to risk a frozen battery because that won't charge and can cause other problems. So I would slow charge it for a while, check the voltage. If it's in that mid-12 range, you know, with a charger in the 13s, but if it's getting over 15 volts, that's a bad sign. You need to stop. So
here's a question I thought about, and I think my own car does this too. Although I'm driving at the time, so I can't tell. Thanks for a great show. Thank you. I've noticed, Texter says, on newer cars, that when the front blinker is used, the corresponding headlight turns off. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I've noticed that also, or sometimes the turn signals in the rear with these LED lighting kind of sweep to the right or sweep to the left. So it's a neat feature. I think it's probably just that. It's a neat feature they're using as a marketing way to get people to pay attention to the vehicles or draw attention to them so they'll want that. But I don't think – I don't know what the advantage of it is, I guess, but I have noticed that myself.
I wonder if it's too, especially if the oncoming car that is signaling is at an angle. Sometimes those lights, headlights, can be pretty bright, and they might even, you know, kind of camouflage that signal. So my guess is they want to make sure the signal is seen. But that's just my guess. Let's see. Here's a 2010 Subaru 2.5 non-turbo. Puff of smoke comes out of the exhaust when starting, goes away after that. 210,000 miles on it. What's your comment about that, Nick?
Just keep an eye on the fluid levels. It depends what the puff of smoke is. Is it a little bit of coolant? Is it a little bit of oil? But I would check fluid levels. If you start to have a drivability concern, a rough running associated with that, I would probably take it in to get it looked at. But if the fluids are full and it's just one puff, I guess at that mileage, I probably wouldn't be too worried.
Okay. There's a windshield question. Texter says, I have a crack along the bottom of my windshield, about 4 inches up and straight across. The crack does not affect the vision, but do you think I need to replace it?
I would plan on it because it's going to grow. You know, those cracks in the windshield with temperatures, flexing of the vehicle as you go down the road will cause that crack to spread across the windshield, and then it can impede what you're seeing. So I would plan to have that scheduled to have it replaced.
There's a body protection question that we've never had before. Even though Texter says I park my car far out to avoid the dings from people opening their car doors, still happens. What can a person do to protect their car from rusting due to the small chips of paint that are nicked out? The dings are already there. Can I do anything at home, or does it need a professional job?
You know, those dings, you can go to a body shop, a paint store, dealership, and buy a touch-up, which is kind of like a nail polish type thing. So it's not the same smooth finish, but it does cover that little ding, as you described. But washing your vehicle, you know, not on the coldest days of the winter, but on a regular basis, especially through the winter when we have salt on the roads, is a good idea. So if you can get through the wash once a week or every 2 weeks and pay the extra dollar or two to have the undercarriage spray, I think really makes a difference. We see it, you know. We lift cars every day. You see the bottoms of them, and you can tell where people kind of maintain their cars or keep them a little better shape, that the underbodies seem to be a little bit cleaner also. So I would advise you every couple weeks, pay the extra dollar or two for the underspray, but I think that makes a difference over the long haul.
Yeah, it really does. See if we have time for maybe one more, maybe two, we'll see. Here's a text that says, my Chrysler 200 trunk won't open. The fob button and the dash button won't work either. Any suggestions?
That's difficult. I would think that there would still be a key port. Not all, but most vehicles still have a spot where you can, it might be hidden a little bit where you can still put the key to unlock it. Sometimes you can fold the seat down to gain access that way. It might take a little more investigating.
Okay. One more. 2007 Range Rover that is leaking a small amount of coolant. Seems to be leaking near the rear of the engine, not by the radiator or reservoir. Any ideas?
You know, the couple things. There could be an intake manifold which runs across the top of the motor that could be leaking down the back. There are oak plugs, core plugs on the back of the head, possibly, or back of the block that could also cause that problem. it's an active leak. It should get at least assessed. You can figure out what it is, what the cost of the repair, then make the decision on that based on how, what it would cost.
Oh, let's do one more. There's a Mitsubishi Mirage 2023. Is it true and a good idea when you have a CVT transmission and backing up out of a parking spot in reverse that you should come to a complete stop before putting it into drive instead of putting it into the drive while the car is still rolling?
You should do that with every transmission. You should always come to a complete stop before you go from, you know, I might have done something different when I was 16, but I would not advise that any longer.
Very good. Nick, we have to run. I know we'll get back next week with another show. But in the meantime, for folks that need help from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes. So if you ever have a question, need advice, you can always reach us at 651-228-1316. And as you know very well, Danny, we're at the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand. And as always, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll do that very thing. Nick, thank you. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Danny.
Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat straight ahead, then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Julie in the 8 o'clock hour. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.